Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, the reason why that's important is because you cannot win a spiritual battle without faith. You got me? You cannot win a spiritual battle without faith. You can win a physical battle without faith. You can get, you know, go to the supermarket and someone crosses you and you two can thump each other until, you know, you both drop. You can do a physical battle, but you can't defeat the enemy on a physical level because he operates on a spiritual level. And that's why in the book of Ephesians we've been talking about that the scripture says, for we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers, principalities, and a host of wickedness in heavenly places. And so the battle that you're fighting is not a physical one. It has its ramifications in the physical realm. But if you start fighting your battles on a physical level, your spiritual battles will still be there and the physical manifestations will not disappear. Because the only time Satan is brought down, if you want cancer to retreat, if you want to see your go from lack and from wanting and from poverty to having a lot and having much, then you're going to have to do this on a spiritual level, because behind every sickness, behind every disease, behind everything that's happening in your body right now, there is a spirit behind it. And that's why when Jesus spoke to the woman who was sick for 18 years, you know, when he went to fight that battle, you know what he did? He didn't say, you spirit, you know, that has her, you know, bent over. He says, you spirit of infirmity. Because we do not fight against. I mean, even though your boss is giving you a hard time and he's the face of your problem, he's really not your problem. There is a spirit behind it, and you have to know, that's what the Bible says, you have to know how to fight the good fight of faith. And so you need faith. But you cannot pick up faith in motivational speakers. Those of you who are high on motivational speakers, and listen, and I think they're good. I think they have their place. I listen to them sometimes myself. But you know, but if you're trying to get faith from them, you have nothing. Because the faith that you need to fight the enemy only comes from this book, and it's called the Word of God. Come on, somebody. And so the Bible says, so Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? You have to hear this good book. Anyway, let's get to the to today. My last message is be strong. Say, be strong. Be strong. Turn to someone and say, be strong. Now, you know you can't win a battle if you're not strong. I've never heard of a weakling winning a battle under normal conditions. You have to be strong. You know, if someone attacks you and you don't have any strength to fight, you're going to lose the fight because you're not strong. And so God exhorts us right in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, right before he starts to tell us about the spiritual warfare we're in, and right before he tells us how Satan has an organized strategy of how he's going to fight his battle and how he has these forces of evil organized into specific purposes. You know, the Bible says that he has principalities. Now, I can't go over what they do because I have that on the other tapes. He has principalities that do something. Then he has powers that do something. Then he has a spiritual host of wickedness that do things, right? And so he has all these demons organized to do certain things. And so what happens is that we are in a battle. We are in a conflict. We are in a major war, and whether you know it or not doesn't really matter. Just because you don't know you're in a war, it's like this. It's like someone says, I don't believe in God. So too tough on you. Because whether you believe in God or not, he is. You see, some people say, I don't believe in the sun. Tough on you. It's coming out whether you like it or not. You see, and so it's important to understand that we as believers need to know that we are in a battle, That's what the scripture says. And if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. In fact, let's read it together. Yeah, go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And it says this. Be sober. Read it with me. Be sober. Be vigilant. Now, notice again. It says don't be drunk. Don't get high. You know, don't be doing all that. Bible says be sober. Know what's going on. When you're high and you don't know what's going on, you know, anything can happen to you. Right? That's how people end up getting raped and all kind of things because they're not sober. They've lost their stability. And it also says be vigilant. What does vigilant mean? It means be absolutely watchful. In other words, what God is saying to you, the enemy should never take you unannounced. He should never take you by surprise because God is telling you what? Be sober. Come on. Be vigilant because what? Your adversary, the devil. Now, what is he? He's your adversary. Some people, you know, not anyone in this room, of course, but some people love the devil. You know, and no one would say they love the devil directly, but by their actions and by their deeds and by the things that they love, guess who they love? They love the devil. You see, that's what the Bible talks about. When they ask Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? It says, love the Lord your God. With what? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You know what? If you love someone with all those three, how much do you have left for anybody else? You have nothing. You follow? And so he's your adversary. And he walks about, come on, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. See, the devil isn't walking around trying to see how he can just slightly hurt you. He's not walking around, you know, figuring out, listen, let me just make it a little tougher for the person. No, what he's seeking to do ultimately is to get you out of here. And John 10:10 says the thief comes not but for to steal, who knows the scripture, to kill, what else? And to destroy. I'm trying to tell you that you have an enemy that's coming against you and you better know where he's coming because you cannot fight him if you don't know where he's coming from. That's what the Bible says, be vigilant. Now, having said that, you know, and to all this, we read in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 now, it says this, finally, my brethren, come on, read it with me, be strong. What must you be? But notice he says, be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, it's very important for us to understand how we are to be strong. And how we're going to win this battle. In other words, to all this and to all that the devil is doing, God is saying, even though he's walking around like a roaring lion, even though he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, he says, be strong and be strong in the Lord. See, there's no confusion here. God is asking us to be strong in the Lord. In other words, when you're going to fight a battle, what are you saying? Be strong. Don't you panic. Don't you get afraid. Don't retreat. You know, the Bible says that when the devil came to Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that the devil came to him. I'm trying to tell you, he's been walking around like a roaring lion even when Jesus was around. And he's no respecter of person. And so he came right up to Jesus. You figure that he would be afraid to come to the Son of God. And especially after the Son of God had fasted for what? 40 days and 40 nights? You figure he said, no, can't do this one. Boss man is too full. But you know what? The Bible says he came to Jesus. I mean, came right up to his face and says, if you be the Son of God. And he started telling him, do this and do that. And the interesting thing that every time the enemy came, he didn't sing, he didn't usher, he wasn't a greeter, he looked at the devil and says, it is written. Now, what you need to understand is that what Jesus was doing, he was going on the offense against the enemy because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And when you use the sword of the Spirit against the enemy, he has no defense. Are you hearing me, church? Whenever you use the word of God against the enemy, he has to retreat. What happened after he said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone? The devil retreated. You know, the bad news is that he only retreated for a little while. He came back. But when he came back again and says, if you be God, you know, why don't you, you know, throw yourself off because the angels are going to hold you up. You know, the devil can quote scripture too. But whenever he quotes it, understand that he always misquotes it. He knows the word too. And he'll use certain things because there is a scripture that says that, but doesn't say it quite like that. And so he was trying to get Jesus to jump and to tempt God. And the Bible says that Jesus looked unto him and says, God and God alone shall you serve. I will never bow down to you. In other words, every time that the devil came at each of those intervals, he used the sword of the Spirit. Your greatest weapon against the devil is not your thinking. It's not the fact that you're here in this church or just because you're religious. Your greatest offense against the enemy, for which he has no defense, is the word of God. The word of God is quick. The word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. If you get this message this morning, your life will change forever. The interesting thing here is that many times in our lives, we don't know who we are. We fail to understand who we are. We don't know who we are as the people of God. And therefore, you know, the enemy tells us who we are, and we act like what he says we are. He says you're fearful. And what do? And, you know, and you don't move forward. He says, you're going to be sick forever. And you say, okay. You know, because remember, he's a forceful enemy. And when you don't know who you are, then anybody can give you a name. You know, and call you whatever they want to call you. But when you know who you are, you ain't turning around until they call your name. You know, don't call me boy. I ain't turning around for boy. Remember we talked about that was last week in Black History program, right? In other words, because you have to know who you are. You have to know your identity. That's the reason why, you know, if people around you are trying to belittle you and so on, get out of their company. Don't be, you know, someone says, don't go where you're tolerated. Go where you are celebrated, where people respect who you are. You know, one of the most puzzling sights you'll ever see is at the circus. You see these huge beasts like elephants who are detained and held hostage by a little chain around their ankle tied to a post that's in the ground. These huge beasts are literally, you know, just moving from the length of the chain to where the post is, and they're held hostage. They are there until the masters come and take them to the next place. And when you look at this, you realize that all that big elephant has to do is just do one pull, and he'll break the chain and pull up the post. But because when the elephant was a baby elephant, the master trained him that whenever he felt the chain, that they were not to resist. They were to submit and just stay right there. And as a result, the baby elephant never had a chance to come into the identity. They don't know that they're the most powerful beast in the, you know, in the jungle, and that no one really can mess with them. You know, they call the lion the king of the jungle. Have you ever seen an elephant? You know, put up a fight, and you know, the lion would be the king of the jungle, but the elephant is the king of all kings. And so the interesting thing is that this elephant at the circus is only good for entertainment, because the elephant can do nothing else because of the fact that its identity has been stolen. And lots of us who are in the church are being held hostage by the enemy. You know, we come to church, We hear all about this power that we're supposed to have and all of this greatness we have, and a little chain of the enemy holds us down every time. It keeps us from our destiny. Many of us don't know the abundant life. We don't know that we are overcomers. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. The Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And we continue to be under the spell of the enemy because we don't know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible lets us know that we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, and that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so as long as you don't know your identity, the devil is going to keep you down. But somebody today needs to understand who you are in Christ, that the devil can't do anything to you because God has given you the power over scorpions. And in fact, I want you to look at this scripture. There's a scripture in the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Let's read together. I want you to know that you have the power. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. When the enemy is trying to bring you down, the Spirit of God is going to lift you up. When the devil puts a mountain in your way, God is going to move the mountain so that you can walk right through. If there is a Red Sea in your life this morning where you feel as if you're trapped, you're not trapped. All you have to do is look unto the Lord from whence cometh your help. And just like he did it for the Israelites, he's going to do it for you. Unemployment can't hold you down. Sickness can't hold you down. You belong to the Lord of God Most High. And look at this scripture here. It says here in the book of Luke 10, 19. Let's read it together. It says, behold, I give you the authority. Come on, somebody. You have to know who you are. Don't be like the circus elephants being detained. These huge beasts, they have the power not only to pull themselves off the chain and off that post, but to destroy everybody that's in the circus. That's how powerful they are. But you know what? When the master says, sit down, what does this elephant do? Because of the fact they don't know their identity. They don't know that they're a thousand times stronger than that master that's talking to them. And so it says here, come on, let's read it. It says, behold, I give you the authority. So you already have the authority to do what? To trample on serpents and scorpions. That's just another term for the devil, because he is a serpent, he is a scorpion. And over all the power of the enemy. Somebody's gonna get it in this building today. You have power, not only a portion over the enemy, you have power and authority over all the works of the enemy. So it doesn't matter how he comes. He has to come good, because if you know who you are in Christ, you can stand there and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and you will not go down. The Bible says, stand and keep on standing. When you put on the whole armor of God, the Bible says, that's the reason why it says put on what? The whole armor of God. See, many people in church, the reason why, you know, 10 years from now they'll be in the same situation is because they don't understand that you don't choose what part of the armor you're supposed to put on. You listen to what God says. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand, not what? All the wiles or all the tricks of the enemy. I want you to know that there's no trick that the devil can put on you that you cannot overcome. And you know what? And the good thing about it is that all you have to do is have on the armor and he can't penetrate. But look what it says here. Let's continue. It says, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I belong to the family of God. Now, it is important to note that God is exhorting us to be strong. How? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, so we're not to be strong in our own strength. We're not to be strong in our own intellect. When you're trying to navigate your life, don't be trying to do it in your own intellect, in your own education, you know, in your own reasoning, because. And we're not to depend on our profession or our talents or our money or our education. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're not to put our ultimate trust in people, in employers, best friends. You know, because these people, you know, sometimes the people that seem to be the closest to you are the ones that sometimes disappoint you. And so it says you don't have to be strong in those things. And again, don't put your trust in ultimately in anything or anybody. Ultimately, put your trust in the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord. And others, look at the scripture in Psalms 127 and verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake, but in vain. In other words, you have to understand that when you're doing something, you have to allow the Lord to be first in your life. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first and what? All his righteousness, and what's going to happen? All these things. Listen to me. I'm trying to explain to you that success belongs to you. You don't have to be like the little, like the elephant. Yeah, success belongs. God says, I wish above all things that you would prosper. What else? And be in good health, even what? As your soul prospers. I'm trying to tell you that it's time for us to begin to apply the promises of God to our lives. Listen, don't allow what's happening to you physically or what's happening to you in terms of the physical realm you live in. Begin to believe the promises of God that are in the Word of God so that they will begin to have a manifestation in your reality. In other words, if you're broke today and things are not going right, say this, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And by the word supply there is not just, doesn't mean that God is, you know, if you have a bill, you know, of $200, he's just going to give you that. You know, he's going to give you the just what you need. No, the word supply there means to cram a net full. Just like when God told Peter to put down the net, and when he came up, the net was so heavy that it started to break. And when they put it on the boat started to sink. I'm trying to tell you that when God is ready to bless you, nobody's going to be able to hold you back. There's going to be so much abundance and overflow, but this is the promise of God. And the promise of God is never realized until you take it. Remember, see, Jesus already did everything he's going to do. Some of us, I'm waiting on the Lord. What are you waiting on the Lord for? He says, I've given you the power over scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. What are you waiting for? You have to take the fight to the enemy. That's what the Bible says. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Move in the power of his might. And so it's absolutely important. One of the things is this, is that God promised us that when we are strong in him, he will begin to do certain things. Now, the question is, how can we be strong in the Lord? Okay, we said, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. But how can we be strong in the Lord? Let me take you to Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. And let's read it together. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. It's very important that you understand this message to Joshua, because this is the same message to you. It's the same message that he's giving to us in Ephesians chapter 6. This is just before that time. Okay, let's read together. It says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to what? Not some, but what? Jesus says, man shall not live, but by what? By what? Every word. So God is telling Joshua the same thing. According to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Continue. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Now, some of you are saying, well, what does that mean? Well, we're going to hit it in a minute. That you may what? Prosper wherever you go. In other words, if Joshua follows these instructions, God is saying to him, Joshua, wherever you go, you're going to prosper. And so it's like the scripture says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Check this out. This is what he's telling Joshua. If you do this, wherever you go, you're going to be successful. In other words, Whether you work on this job or you live in this place or live in that place, wherever you go, see, the blessing is not on a thing. The blessing is not where you live. The blessing is upon you. You are the one that's blessed of the Lord. So if you move right, guess what moves with you? The blessings of the Lord. If you move back a couple of steps, guess what moves with you? The blessings of the Lord. If you go forward 10 steps, guess what goes with you? That's why when you understand this, you're going to be bold as a lion. And you're not going to panic. You're not going to retreat. You're going to understand that if the Lord is for you, then who can be against you? Now, let's go to verse 8, because there's two things here. You have to observe to do all of God's word. Now, look at what verse 8 says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This is a very important point, because we're going to hit it, because it has to do with meditation. The book of the law shall not depart from what? From your mouth. From where? Touch your mouth a minute. Make sure don't touch your throat. All right. So it says, but you shall what? Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. How often must you meditate upon it? Day and night. Okay, I'm going to leave the rest of the reading. Now, at the very beginning of Joshua's ministry, or Joshua's career, God commanded him immediately to do what? Be strong. Come on now. Now listen, this man was about to face a challenge that even Moses didn't face. He was about to go into the promised land, but the promised land, while it was the promised land, and what do we know about the promised land? It flowed with what? Milk and honey. It means everything was there. In other words, they say that the fruit, that a grape was as big as a bowling ball. That's what the Bible says. It said the fruits were huge. I mean, it was flowing with milk and honey. But the interesting thing about the promised land is that you would think that if God is taking you somewhere, there'd be no enemies. Unfortunately, when you're going to be blessed of the Lord, you must be prepared for the enemies that are going to be there who don't like the fact that you're blessed. Someone is going to oppose you whether you like it or not. See, that's why Jesus says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, come on somebody, I need someone who knows the word here, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. See, I mean, Shamal, I know you're going to have to give your testimony next week sometime, but you know, I mean, I saw the whole span when after she was unemployed for a while. And, you know, we kept on praying, and she kept on praying. She was here at every prayer meeting, and we continue to believe God. And sometimes when God is with you, it doesn't mean that everything is going to go according to the way you want it to go. Sometimes God allows things to come to help you and to get your faith where it needs to be. So your dependency is not upon the boss, it's not upon the job, but it's upon the living God. Because your boss can fire you, but God will still make a way to provide for you. Remember, he can make a way where there is no way. Anyway, having said that, God told Joshua to be strong. And he gave him the formula as we just read. There's two things here that I need you to understand. He told him, do not turn away from God's, from the word that I've given you, to the right hand or to the left. And he also said, make sure that you meditate in it day and night. So let's look at this for a minute. Don't turn from the word to the right hand or to the left. First of all, let me say this to you. It's important that you memorize scripture. Absolutely important. Because sometimes you don't have the Bible next to you. You don't have it accessible to you. And the enemy's coming, and you notice Jesus never fought the devil with his words and what he thought he wanted to say. He always fought the devil with the word of God. Because the devil doesn't care what you have to say. He has no respect for it. But with the word of God, he has no weapon. He has nothing to counteract the word of God. So when you say, devil, it is written, what does he do? He backs up. Now, let me just continue here. See, we should not stray from the word of God when things are going good. There's some people, I was saying to our folks yesterday in the in our Saturday morning prayer meeting, that there are some people that because God loves them so much, he won't prosper them but so much. He won't let them go but so far. Because he knows that wealth and them don't mix well. There's some people, let me put this way. God gives them a job, a nice job, Minister Carl, and suddenly they can't make Bible study. Remember, God gave them the job. And suddenly they can't make prayer meeting. All of a sudden, the spiritual things that they need to continue the blessing, they have to start dropping. So what God says, they're going to go but so far. And this is scriptural. Bible says, if you're faithful, come on, in what? In small things, what did God says? I'm going to make you a manager of greater things. I'm not creating this stuff. This is God's word. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then what's going to happen? You see, but the problem with this is that this whole thing, and then there's some people when things go bad, they stop serving God. Missing Bible study, missing prayer meeting, missing everything. And you know, and the problem is that they think it's just something that's happening, just sort of a freaky thing. No, it's not. Understand that one of the organized forces of evil is called the host of wickedness. Go back to my series on this. And the Bible says that those demons are organized for the purpose of bringing people into mysticism. And mysticism is when the enemy gets you to, deceives you into thinking that you don't really have to do all that God says. And even if you don't do all that God says, everything is cool with you and God. Don't you know he's the father of lies? Jesus says you can't live. You have to live by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know that mysticism was the very first thing he did with someone called what? Eve. He said to Eve, God didn't really mean all that he says. Come on, man. You can do this a little different. He says, you know, God is just afraid that once you eat this thing, you're going to become just like him. And she bought it line, hook, and sinker. And what happened? She plunged the whole generation. Because we know that the Bible says that who did it? Oh, man, unfortunately. Oh, Amanda, you love that, right? Yeah, because if Adam never took of it, then guess what? The human race wouldn't have been poisoned. That woman. And so you have to understand that part of the battle that you're fighting this morning of trying to serve God but constantly compromising the way you do it is that it's not just coincidence. There is a whole spiritual entity that the devil has absolutely trained to get you to do that. How many of us at some point in our Christian life were like that? Can I see your hands? You were like that. Don't lie. You didn't do it all God's way. You know what I'm saying? You know, you compromise and until you realize, you know what? This doesn't work. You see? And so it's important to understand. Now, listen to this. Joshua's obedience to God and his instructions made him successful, made him strong, and made him prosperous. The Bible says that Moses couldn't take him into the promised land because of certain situations. But the Bible says that Joshua led the children of Israel into Canaan, into the promised land. And there he defeated one of the most powerful nations at Jericho by just walking in and doing what God says. And the walls of Jericho literally collapsed right in front of him. He didn't have to raise a gun. He didn't have to raise an arrow. He just had to do what God says. And the Bible says that he defeated Jericho. Now, and then he went on to defeat these other enemies. He went on to defeat, remember, in the promised land. And understand something about Israel. Israel did not have military power. Israel could not fight these nations because, number one, they were outnumbered. There was an instance in the scripture where the king of Syria was so mad that because Elijah was sending information to the king of Israel because he had set traps. he had set traps for the king of Israel. And every time that the king of Israel was approaching the trap that the king of Syria had put together, the Bible says that Elijah sent a message to the king and says, divert, redirect your steps. And the king would listen because everyone respected the prophet. And the Bible says that when the king of Syria heard that the king of Israel, you know, did not fall into the trap, he set another one for him. And this one was more sophisticated. And as right as the king of Israel was about to get into that trap, another word came from the prophet and says, don't go in that direction. And so the king of Syria got all of his lieutenants and close people together and says, listen, somebody here is leaking information. Because there's no way this king would know that. And one of his close people said, listen, it's not us. There's a prophet out there by this particular area, and he's the one that's doing it. And so what the king of Syria did is he put together 10,000 men of war and surrounded where Elijah was, because he was going to make sure that this was not going to happen again. And the Bible says that when Elijah's servant went to look, he says, boss man, this is the end. Because he saw all of the 10,000 man army around them with chariots. One of the indications of wealth, of might, or military strength back in that day was chariots. In other words, that's what you notice that when Israel left Egypt, how did they leave? They left walking. But what happened immediately after when they got to the Red Sea? Pharaoh with his mighty army, chariots and horses and men, followed after him. But anyway, so then what Elijah said to his servant, he says, you know what? I know what you see, but go back one more time and look. And when he went out of the tent where Elijah was, he saw thousands of angels on chariots of fire. They just had chariots. God had angels with chariots of fire all around the king, the Syrians that were around him. And guess what happened? They were destroyed on that day, and Elijah walked out as if nobody was there. When the God is for you, I'm trying to tell you that nobody can harm you. See, and so it's important, but I'm trying to tell you that this is that the reason why Joshua was so successful is because Joshua obeyed the word of God, and he won every battle in the promised land. Now, it's important to understand that when you fight battles with the strength of the Lord, listen to me carefully, you will be just like Joshua. It's no different because of the fact that you are a child of God. As a matter of fact, we even have more power because Jesus went to the cross and he took all the power from the enemy. And so it means that, you know, whatever is facing you, if you're faced with cancer, if you're faced with an ulcer, if you're faced with a heart condition, if you're faced with some health situation that is deadly, I want you to know that you will, that thing will come down if you stand before it in the name of the Lord. I also want you to know that it doesn't matter what your financial situation is, God can turn it around right now as we're sitting in this room. You can go from poverty to lack, and you can have all that going on, and I'm telling you, when God blesses you, it will be more than you can be able to handle. The Bible says that the blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And so it's important. And I want you to know, God wants us to walk. The Bible says it is he who gives you power to get wealth. God wants us to walk in those promises. So when you're strong in the Lord, I want you to know that, again, don't be strong in your intellect. Don't be strong in your own mind. Don't be strong in what you think. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. God doesn't want you to be, you know, partially trusting him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall what? He shall direct your paths. And so I want you to know that the enemy can come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord has a standard against him. No devil that comes against you will be able to defeat you. Why? Because God says not one of them will be able to harm you if you'll be strong in the Lord. Let me just go on and say this. It says there that he was to meditate in the word of God day and night. Now, this was always interesting. I mean, how could you do this day and night? Now, I found out how you could do it. First of all, the word meditation or the word meditate is not a mental exercise like it is in the Webster Dictionary. Meditate in the scripture is the Hebrew word haggah, spelled H-A-G-A-H, which means to mutter the word of God. It means to speak the scriptures to yourself during the day or to someone else if the opportunity avails itself. It means to quote the scriptures all the time. Meditation in the word of God means that you do stuff like this. You said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The other scripture that says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen his seed ever begging for bread. You can look at the scripture that says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. By his stripes I'm healed. In other words, you go throughout the day speaking the word of God. That's meditation. And the reason why you could do it day and night, because you can get up in the middle of the night and said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. You can get up in the middle of the day and said, I said, and you can use the scripture, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help comes from the Lord. You can get up in the middle of the night and you can begin and use another scripture. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I'm trying to tell you the reason why some of us are not experiencing the prosperity and the success that God says is because we don't do this. Say out to say amen. One. How many times do you get up in the middle, or are you at the job or in the restroom, whatever? Because you don't have to say it loud. You can just say it. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You get up at night and you realize that you feel the pain, and you know that this thing is still, you're still in the battle. And you said, but my God shall supply all my need. You know, you're in a situation, whether it be a family tension, whatever it is, and it seems like things are just going against you, and you can say, I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. You begin to see, that's what David did. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. You see, that's what meditation is. That's why you could do it, what? Day and night. I never figured this thing out until just a while back when I was studying. And so God says, if you will meditate on my word, how many? Day and night, you're going to be successful and you're going to be prosperous. How many of you need to see healing in your body? How many need to see prosperity come to your home? How many of you need to see that everything is working out in your favor? I want you to know, start meditating on the word of God day and night. Call upon the name of the Lord. Let the devil know that he doesn't have anything that he can do. And when you quote the word of God, the enemy has no defense against it. Anything else you bring to him, candles and all that kind of nonsense, he has a defense against it. He loves the candle. He lives in the candle. All these superstitious people. Oh, I got to light the candles because that's the only way I get the spirits out. That's how you invite them in. But, you know, the devil is a liar. I mean, you know, but he and you fall into the lie. No problem. Let me continue. I'm going to give you two things that are inextricable. Because the Bible says this. It says that Joshua was to follow the word of God completely. He was not to go to the left nor to the right. So I'm going to give you a scripture. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And then we're going to look at Ephesians 5. I want you to see two things here that creates meditation. Listen to me carefully. Meditation is key. Thou shalt meditate in the word of God, what? Day and night. Then you shall be what? Prosperous and successful. Some of you are going to leave this building today, and I'm telling you, the weights are going to fall off because you're going to realize who you are. You're not like the circus elephant. You're a child of the living God. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I'm just trying to give you a couple of things to take with you. It says here, this is important because I want you to see what happens after this initial thing. Ready? Let's go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Now, we got to stop here. How must the word of God dwell in you? It must dwell in you how? Now, say it again. Come on, say it again. See, now, it's important that you understand that the word of God has to be in you richly. In other words, the word of God, you know, you can't be a quarter tank full and win the battles against the enemy. I'm just trying to tell you. I'm just telling what God's word says. That's why he says, put on what? See, and you young people that are here, if you want to experience the greatness of God, and you want to experience power in God, and you want to experience a great destiny, a bright future, you want to live in and walk in the prosperity of God like Joshua did and so many others in the scripture, what you have to focus in on is what God is saying to you here in the scriptures. He says, let the word, come on, of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. What else? Hymns. What else? Spiritual songs. Now, one of the things that happens when the word of God is in you richly, see, it doesn't happen if the word of God is in you half tank. You ever go, how many of you who have a car, you know, and you put in a quarter tank, and by the time you get five blocks down, that's it, gone, right? Because it's not enough. Right, you can't go very far on a quarter tank. And so God says, if you're going to go far in me, you have to be what? Full of the word of God. Listen to me. Now, and what happens when you're full of the word of God? It brings meditation. What is meditation? It's speaking the scriptures. You begin to speak the scriptures automatically because the word of God is dwelling in you how? Richly. And so you don't have to try to fight anymore. You see, that's what the psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse 11. Your word I have hid that I might not what? Yeah, see, our strength doesn't come from just our resolve. Our strength comes from the word of God. And so let me say this. And so it says here, once you are full of the word of God, you're going to begin to speak what? Psalms. What else? Hymns. What else? Spiritual songs. All things that have spiritual lyrics around it. See, when you're full of the word of God, you ain't going to be talking about people. You're not going to get on the internet or get on your phone and start texting all negative things about people, because all you want to do is speak hymns. Spiritual songs. You want to speak the word of God. You want to pray for people. See, that's why spirituality cannot be judged and cannot be gauged by the number of years you're in the church. It should be, but it's not. Because there are people who are in the church for a long time, but they're not rich in the word of God. So as a result, they go into all kinds of detours. I mean, financially, they go into detour. As sooner or later, they get sick and they go into a detour. But I want you to know that if you are rich in the word of God, you're going to start to speak the word of God. You won't have time for gossip. When someone calls you for gossip, listen, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Because your spirit won't let you do it. You're rich of the word. And gossip and evil things are anti-God. So you two cannot mix. Light and darkness have no fellowship. When you're around darkness and you're comfortable, something is wrong with you. Something is not right, because if you have light, light and darkness can't. Listen, if I shut these lights off, guess what? All you're going to see is what? It's darkness. They cannot occupy the same room. That's why it's important that we understand that if you will begin to fill yourself up with the word of God, that's the reason why Jesus says, man shall not live, come on, but by what? So that means, now, God has a lot of words in this book. And no matter how many times you read it, There is so much inspiration and insight in this book that you can read one passage a million times. And when you read it a millionth time in one, it has another revelation that's far above the one that you had before. Because God is infinite. You can't check him out once and then you know all about him. Now, so listen to what happens here in Colossians 3:16. If the word of Christ dwells in me richly, what am I going to do? I'm going to begin to speak scripture. I'm going to begin to speak the word of God all the time, day and night. I'll be doing psalms. I'll be doing spiritual songs. I'll be doing hymns. Now, the interesting thing now is I want you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 19. Check this out. This is not talking about being rich in the word of God, but it's talking about something else. It says, and do not be, I hope everybody gets this one. And do not be with wine. I'm going to say something about this. You know, there's a whole, the philosophy today is, well, you know, you can dip dab, whatever it is. Let me just tell you something else, because you got to compare scripture with scripture. Because people get all these philosophies about drinking and, you know, oh, it's not that bad. Here's what God says. He says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And anyone who's deceived by it is a fool. God said this. You know, God said this. Because what he's trying to tell you, touch not the unclean thing. Don't touch things that have the potential to put you in a situation that you're not going to be able to come back from. Why do we do stuff like that? And then we need deliverance, and then, you know, we go into years of our lives, you know, because of the fact that if we just listen to what God says and you were smart about it, you say, you know what, I'm not touching this thing. I'm leaving this thing behind because I don't want anything to hurt my life. Now, let's continue. It says, and do not be, not say it, say it. And do not what? Be drunk with wine, in which is what? Dissipation, but be filled with, oh, I love this. Come on. Be what? Somebody tell me. Tell me again. What does God say? Be filled with the Spirit. Remember, look what's following in just a second here. What the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And when it's in you richly, what are you going to start doing? Speaking psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But check this out. If you are filled with the Spirit, continue, you'll start to speak what? To one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart as unto the Lord. What am I saying here? Listen to me. I want you to know that if you're going to be strong in the Lord, then you have to be strong in the word of God. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you have to be strong in the word of God. And when you are strong in the word of God, or when you are filled with the Spirit, because they're inextricable, they're one and the same. They both produce something in you that you cannot produce by yourself. You're going to start speaking the word of God. See, when the enemy comes at you, you know what Jesus did when the enemy came to him? He began to speak the scriptures. He did not speak his own philosophy. He did not speak his history. Well, you know, I was with the Father, and, you know, and I was there with him all this time. No, he says, it is written. I want you to know that God wants you to be successful, but you have to meditate on the word of God, not just in the morning, not just in the afternoon, but day and night. Somebody here is going to leave this room and they're going to realize, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that this is what's been missing in my life? Yes, God wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to be first and not last. And the only way that is going to happen is you have to start meditating on the word of God day and night. Quote the scriptures in the morning. Quote the scriptures in the afternoon. Quote the scriptures in the middle of the night. Get up at night at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, had it not been for the Lord on my side, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am the head and not the tail. Start talking to the devil about who you are and start using the sword of the Spirit, because he has no defense against it. When you use, listen, you can tell him you're an usher, you can tell him you sing, and he'll come at you and bust you up. But when you say it is written, he starts to back up, and he don't know what to do because he has no defense against the word. God says you're going to have good success, and you're going to have a prosperous life, And you're going to defeat every enemy. Not some of your enemies, but every enemy. That's why you parents who are here, man. That's the reason why. I don't know how to put this to you, but it is so important that you pray. Prayer is the medium that makes the whole armor of God work. Remember, I taught you this. It's after God went through the armor, prayer was not part of the armor, but prayer was the last thing he says that makes the armor work. He says, after you do all this with prayer and prayer twice and supplication, some of us don't know what that is and can't go into that. He says, and you are going to have good success. Some of us haven't seen some things answered, but I guarantee you that if you make that change today, you're going to start to see God do some miracles. Next week, I'm definitely going to give an opportunity because we'll be doing communion next week. And in the spirit of communion, lots of miracles can happen. Some of you can, and I'm talking about at the communion, like our sister Cecily, and I let her say something about that before we partake. Your sickness that's been around for 10 years, 12 years, 18 years, instantaneously, you can leave this room completely healed. I'm trying to tell you. That's what the Bible says. And the cup of blessing that we drink, it's a cup of blessing, not a cup of curse. And many of us don't understand that, so we don't expect nothing. But I'm telling you, you have to expect that. I want you to know that when you begin to commit yourself to prayer, and not just personal prayer, because you cannot be the church by yourself. That's why Jesus says, if any two or three are gathered together in my name, there is a power that goes beyond. Thursday nights we meet from 7 to 8. And Saturday mornings from 10 to 11 for those who can't be there on Thursday or vice versa. Because, I mean, yesterday I was here and I was so blessed. I was blessed by the word of exhortation that one of our sisters, Cleo, brought to us. And then I was blessed by the prayers that were offered. I could just feel the amazing presence of God. And, you know, and the wonderful thing is leaving from here is I say, you know what? Everything that we prayed about has been done. Amen, David, right? Everything that God says has been done. And I want you to know that it's time for you to take your rightful place. Don't be like the circus elephant and not know who you are. Know that you have a right. You have a right to be prosperous. You have a right to succeed. You have a right to be healed of every infirmity. You have a right to climb the ladder of success. I don't care where you are, wherever you are, whether it's a financial climb or whether it's a positional climb, I want you to know that the Bible says that when you begin to meditate in His Word day and night, you are going to have not just success, you're going to have what? Good success. I love that. I love that they put good next to success. So that means that, I mean, there's no question about where I'm going to be. But you know what? It requires that we don't swerve to the right and don't swerve to the left. And number two, meditate on the word of God day and night. Bow your heads for a moment.